Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
I see the day I'm bringing this back. It's Peg, name of that song. Welcome back, 17 to the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and I'm responsible for the chaos around here. I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my new book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Very excited about having Tony Uphoff back on the show. Tony is the CEO of Thomas, which is an organization that focuses on serving manufacturers and suppliers of manufacturers. They've been doing that for a long time. Tony, thanks again for being here. Your company, your organization traces very closely the marketplace, especially the manufacturing and the supply chain sources of sectors of the economy. And one of the things I want you to do is give us a report on where you think things are with regard to the trade agreements, the trade negotiations. And I'll just set you up by saying this. I'll make this declaration, and I've said it several times on the show before, and I continue to believe it with all my heart. If we can get a trade deal that's a solid one, that's well negotiated, that's enforceable with China, if we can get something similar with Europe, and if we can get this north-south middle part of the Western Hemisphere, the new NAFTA, get that squared away, the global economy will, I believe, especially the U.S. economy, will leave the ground. It will leap off the ground. We've never seen an expansion like we can have if we can do that. What do you think?
Well, I think you're spot on, Jim, and I'll give you some data behind it. So every 2 seconds, a engineer procurement professional selects a new supplier on the ThomasNet platform. Every second, 24 hours a day, an engineer or architect downloads one of our CAD or building information management files. So that optics into the industrial economy is unparalleled. So it gives us some interesting dynamics to answer the questions you're just now posing. So a couple of things. First of all, the threatened tariffs and the tariffs themselves have clearly had an impact, right? So we can see it in demand for things like North American steel suppliers are up. We're not seeing some of the concerns that people worried about, meaning, hey, if my cost of raw goods goes up, I've got to pass that on to the next two or three folks in my supply chain, and it's going to restrict my business. We have not seen that yet. So I think that, all in, I think that probably means we're making some progress here. I think the other aspect about it, when you look at China in particular, I'll leave Europe for a second, but China in particular, the reality is the Chinese economy and the American economy need each other. There's no two ways about it. And that has already happened. We can't put the genie back in the bottle. Those economies are too big. They're too interdependent on each other. So there may be some skirmish back and forth, and I think perhaps rightfully so, to get things realigned. But I think that will trend in a very positive direction. To your point on the global economic impact and then the impact to North America, the other thing to bear in mind is the recent tax law, day after April 15th, I'm bringing up taxes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry about that. The tax break that people focused on, what wasn't as well understood is within that there was a one-time reduced rate to bring money back on shore for U.S. corporations. So as you well know, there's $1 trillion that had been kept offshore because if U.S. corporations brought it back on shore, they'd pay a 37% tax rate. There was a one-time opportunity for them to bring it back at a 15% tax rate.
How are they doing?
So we touched on we touched on earlier in the earlier segment of reshoring. What's fueling a lot of that reshoring is U.S. companies are saying, what, this is fantastic. Not only is U.S. manufacturing competitive on a global stage, I now have a tax benefit, right? It's not a gain, but a tax benefit to bring this back. So all along
and if more of my production is automated, automation works just as well in one, on our continent as it does in another continent, and my energy with the energy boom in America. This is another thing I reported on yesterday. With the energy boom in America, my energy is probably cheaper in the United States.
You just nailed it. That's the other thing that a lot of people don't understand. So the U.S. has done a phenomenal job of being competitive now in manufacturing. It's been true for many, many years, but the best is still to come. So take what you just said about automation, robotics. The United States currently is number 4 in terms of investment in advanced robotics and automation. So China, Japan, Korea, then the U.S. So as we continue to understand how to do that, we can continue to grow, and we're expanding jobs as a result. The labor force in U.S. manufacturing is at 1949 levels.
I know. It's
think
amazing.
About that. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
And we still have jobs going wanting. I mean, think about that.
You got
if,
it.
If we can somehow get these people retrained, I mean, I'm telling you, we could see multi-generation expansions, and I don't think that's hyperbole. We could see multi-generation expansions if we could get people retrained, resituated for these jobs, and drop the trade barriers and get people to acting in the best interest of the global economy, not just our little, you know, xenophobic world. If we could get that done, there's a whole lot of good things could happen.
Yeah, Jim, I think you're right. I think, you know, I'd go back to something I said in the first segment, too, that the government is concerned about, and certainly we are, too, is the misperceptions about U.S. manufacturing.
I agree.
I think in some cases holds the job opportunity back. You know, if you and I were millennials, you know, we might not
we've think got it. We've got it. We can't let the, we can't let the socialists tell the story, because they don't their stories are lies, folks. Socialism is a lie. It doesn't work. Socialism also is not liberalism, ladies and gentlemen. That's different. Tony Uphoff and I will be right back. He's with Thomas. I'm Jim Blasingham. I'm with you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.